The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to the Old Testament book of Zechariah. I'm going to do a two-week series, the Lord willing, this Sunday and next Sunday on the topic that I'm preaching on this morning. And I want you to see some powerful verses in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1. We'll begin reading with verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. And a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. He's saying all of this after Babylonian captivity, after the city, the nation has been destroyed. 70 years of captivity, and God sends this word. And then he says in verse 17, again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Verse 18, then I raised my eyes and looked. This is Zechariah, and he says, there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered me, these are the horns that have scattered Judah. Notice now, what are the horns doing? They scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four carpenters. And I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that, listen to it, no one can lift up his head. But the carpenters are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. So I'm preaching today on Build It. In part one this morning, I'm preaching on the remedy for discouragement. But I feel those words alive in my soul this morning, build it. In some cases, rebuild it. But you'll understand that what God is doing in this hour, I believe, is found in Zechariah chapter 1. He speaks of a vision and he speaks of seeing in the middle of it four horns rising up. He said, and behold, I lifted up my eyes and there were four horns. Horns in the Bible are symbols and synonymous with power, with strength, with a ram's horn is what it's referring to, and it has to do with aggressive power, not just power, but aggressive power, unbridled, without restraint. And it's coming to destroy. These four horns came up to destroy. Notice what it said, to scatter, rising up against Jerusalem, which is the capital city of Israel, and Judah, which is the people, the seed, the race of Israel, and Israel, the entire nation, to scatter them. That word is so important. The purpose of the horns was to scatter Israel. It was, and we today, the church, is spiritual Israel. There's natural Israel and there's spiritual Israel. And these things were written for our learning to understand how the enemy operates when he attacks Israel, the church, the body of Christ. What does he want to do? He comes to scatter. It is a diabolical, satanic scattering. Why? What is the purpose of it? To divide families, to divide churches, to divide people, to divide marriages, to scatter them, to tear families all to pieces. Why? The ultimate result is found in this verse, so that no man would lift up his head. So that the people would be so defeated, so discouraged and despondent that their head is looking down, not looking up. Adversity comes to take our vision, to turn our head down away from the future of hope and the faith in our future to be dissipated, to be discouraged. If someone is walking down and they can't lift their head, they're so discouraged, looking at only where their feet are in its present place, not looking out for better places and better days. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. The adversary wants you focused and consumed on where you are only today. So he rises up and he comes with a spirit of scattering, the purpose of scattering God's people, scrambling and squandering God's people, is to destroy our vision. If you're looking down, all you see is yourself and your problems and your failures and your mistakes. And the enemy does not want us to look out into the future with faith. He wants to frustrate our future. Some of you have been living with your head down for a long time. You have been discouraged. The enemy has sent scattering and dividing, and there's nothing left, it feels like. And you've tried to get back up, but you just can't lift your head up. All you see is the problems of your present. You feel like there's no hope, and you feel like there is no future. The enemy is frustrating your future, trying to keep you down, not up. Everything about the position that the enemy sends scattering for and dividing is to put your head down, to focus on yourself, to focus on where you are, and to not see with vision your future. And everything about that posture of looking down is unbiblical. The Bible clearly says in Psalms 121 and verses 1 and 2, lift up your eyes into the hills. You're not supposed to be despondent and looking down. That's the enemy and the spirit that's coming. And it came to the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and the capital city of Jerusalem. And it said, you are defeated and you are to stay down. Don't you look up with faith and vision. Lift up your head unto the hills from which cometh your help. Your help is the Lord. It's time to break out of the present problems. It's time to lift up your eyes. I'm going to preach what God told me to preach. We have a bright future. Your family, if you believe in Jesus Christ, I don't care how scattered and divided it is, you lift up your head. You do have a future, and God still has a vision for miracles in your home. It's not over. Better days are coming. God's not done. God's not going to let it in like this. And it's not His will for your family to be scattered, broken, divided, and defeated. In the name of Jesus, help is on the way. He scatters so that you focus only on your feet, only on your own failures, only on where you have been through. And some of you are looking at me saying, if you knew what I've been through, if you knew where these feet have walked through, if you knew the dysfunction, the pain, the trauma, the heartache, the trouble that I've walked through, if you understood where I came from, I just can't get past what I've walked through. You're focusing on what you've been through, but if you could see where you're going, by God's grace and God's help. And I know you don't believe it because the enemy has kept you down so long that you've not lifted your head in faith in a long time. Well, I believe that when you begin to focus on where you've been, that's where you stay. But he said, together, Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, everything the enemy's tried to scatter and divide. And there is a great, great spirit, I believe, that has come to divide our nation, to divide our families, to divide our marriages, to divide us from our future place of destiny and calling. And a scattering of godly marriages is happening. A scattering of families raised in church, and then comes those four horns to scatter and divide and tear to pieces, and you sit here without your children Sunday after Sunday, and your heart swells, and you wonder where in the world and how in the world is this thing ever going to change? We're scattered, we're divided in our families and in our homes, but I did not come to preach bad news. I have a remedy. I have a solution for all of the scattering, dividing, demonic spirits that have come against families, marriages, homes, and this nation. The problem is scattering. But here's the good news. He said, My solution for scattering spirits is there is another force in the vision that started rising up. He said, I see a group of people and they've got work belts strapped on. They've got hammers. They've got nails. They're not tearer downs. They're builder ups. They're builders. They're laborers. They're workers. They're carpenters. And they are coming and they will destroy, the word said, those four horns and what they wanted to do to the families of Israel. What is happening is I will send forth the carpenters and they will subdue the scattering spirits. There's about to be building and rebuilding of that which has been scattered and divided. God needs carpenters right now, not critics. God needs carpenters right now, not complainers. And God needs carpenters and builders right now, not a bunch of cynics who say, well, I believe last year and it's gotten worse. I don't care. God is in control and God is working even when it doesn't look like he's working. And he's saying, I need some carpenters who will get their head up, get their faith up, and get their work tools out and start building back what the enemy's tried to destroy. It's time to work on what you've been worrying about. It's time to work on what you've been whining about. You know when your marriage is gonna get better? When you quit whining about it and start working on it. Get your work belt and put it on. You're a carpenter. You're not a whiner and you're not a complainer. You know when your children are gonna get better? When you quit whining about it and go to working on it. First in prayer and then in love, and then just start building a bridge back to what the enemy has torn and scattered and divided. Because greater is he who is in us. God has equipped us with the tools not to tear down, but to build up. Hallelujah. Build and rebuild. You can't be complacent. You've got to go to work. You've got to become a laborer. You've got to become a builder, a carpenter. And when you quit whining about it and start working on it, it's a whole lot easier to point a finger than it is to pick up a hammer. And you can point a finger at that husband or that wife, or you can pick up a hammer and don't hit them with it. Pick up a hammer and go to work and say, in the name of Jesus, this is not who our family is, and that's not who my children are. And we talk to one another, so we love one another. We eat meals together. We come see one another. And it's time for God to get some builders that say, I serve a carpenter named Jesus. He was a carpenter's son, and I have the spirit of the carpenter on me. And you can't make an enemy out of somebody who won't be your enemy. I'm tired of hearing about what's wrong. I'm tired of hearing about the horns. I want to hear about the builders. The walls of Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem that Nehemiah rebuilt, were rebuilt in 52 days. But it did not happen with empty hands. The Bible said every man, woman, boy, girl took a tool in one hand, a hammer or something like that, and they took a sword in the other hand. And they said, we will fight for our families. We will fight for our marriages. We will fight every evil spirit that comes to scatter and divide. If you wanted a fight, devil, you pick this fight, you're gonna get a fight. I'm gonna take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I will stab you to death. You will not get my family, my nation, my home, my children, my grandchildren. I'm gonna build with one hand and fight with the other. Building and battling, building and battling. I thought about our nation yesterday. I Googled it. I said to my phone, how far are we away from the election? And yesterday we were 52 days away from the election. I could not believe it. I said, God, give us a 52-day miracle and build back our nation, build back our economy, build back our educational system, build back our schools to be safe places, build back our faith, build back our churches, build back our nation. Oh, God, give us a 52-day miracle in America and in our homes and in our nation. Rebuild the walls. Amazing. But it won't happen with idle hands. The enemy wants your hands idle while the enemy's scattering and dividing your children and your family and tearing everything to pieces. But you have to put on a work belt and get you one of those nuclear-powered I don't know what they're called. You can tell how gifted I am in that department. I've always wanted one, though. I don't have one, but Charisse does. She can fix anything. What's that thing called? A drill. Power drill. Nuclear power drill. You need a, just to feel like a man, you need a tape measure on your belt, and you need a hammer hanging off of you. And when hell comes to destroy everything that you love, you just grab a sword in one hand and grab your power drill in the other hand and say, devil, I know you've attacked through drugs, through alcoholism, through demons of depression and bipolar, whatever. In the name of Jesus, I have the spirit of a carpenter, and I'm gonna rebuild what hell has destroyed. Get your head up. Get your faith up. Get your vision up. God has not forsaken you or your family. Woo. Glory to God. You can't be a carpenter and be a complainer at the same time. You can't be a builder and be a critic at the same time. You got to be one or the other. It's time to be the builders, the carpenters. Restore, rebuild. Some things must be rebuilt in our lives. Jesus, for the first 30 years of his life, was not raised in the priesthood. He was raised in a carpenter's home. And the last 3 years of his life, when he started doing miracles after he had worked in his father's carpentry business, rebuilding broken things, the people said, when they saw him doing miracles, is not this Joseph the carpenter's son? Carpentry has always been God's remedy for scattering and dividing and discouraging God's people. Jesus showed up with the spirit of the builder when he came. And he said, I've got the tools that I need to rebuild any marriage, any family, any nation, any people who will turn to me. I've got 3 nails, I've got a hammer, and I've got 2 beams. And if you take the cross and the nails and you take the sacrifice of His blood on the cross, it can rebuild any broken place in your life. Jesus came to earth and He said, I'm looking for the broken, not so that I can do further demolition on their lives. I'm looking for the broken, the one who's broken sexually and has had five affairs and is living with number six. Let me get to her, not to bring further demolition, but to rebuild her life. Bring me the woman, Pharisees, out of the bed of adultery that you dragged right out of the bed and throw her at my feet. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm not gonna demolish her and step on her and kick her down now that she is in her shame. I'm gonna rebuild her life. I'm gonna put her in my book and I'm gonna give people hope who've messed up and fallen and failed that there is life beyond the affair, life beyond the divorce, life beyond the pain, life beyond the abortion. I'm gonna build them back up after life has demolished them. Give God a big shout if you believe it. He's a repairer. He's a restorer. He's a renewer. That's my carpenter. His name is Jesus. So there are three things that God wants us to rebuild. If you're going to see the spirit of the carpenter hit your life and raise back up what the enemy has scattered and divided. First of all, you got to rebuild the altar. Every problem with people is a prayer problem. If you fix your altar, you will fix your life. If your altar is unfixed, your life will remain unfixed. There comes a point when you get so desperate that you rebuild your altar, and if you will rebuild the altar and put God first in your life and begin to call on Him and begin to listen to Him, because prayer is talking to God, word is listening to God. And if you will rebuild your altar will rebuild your life, rebuild your marriage, rebuild your children, rebuild your future. There's no shortcuts. That's why when Elijah wanted the fire to fall on his nation again, they were in a drought for 3.5 years, and he went to Mount Carmel and he said, I've got to first build an altar to solve this problem, to rebuild the nation, rebuild the altar. And he got 12 stones. He stacked them on top of each other. He built a fire with wood, and he did not start the fire. He just put the wood there, and he laid the sacrifice on the dry wood. And then he did something strange. He called for 12 barrels of water. The one thing they didn't have was water. It had not rained, nor dew had come in the mornings. There was no dew or rain for 3.5 years, and water was the one thing they didn't have much of at all. Isn't it amazing that the thing that will help you build your altar is the thing you don't have enough of? And most people don't pray when they have what they need. But the thing that you don't have that you desperately want to see happen is the very thing that should cause you to pour and build an altar. And they drenched the altar, and the fire fell from heaven and lit the fire, and the famine was over, and the nation was blessed and restored. Rebuild the altar. Don't leave the altar in disarray. If the enemies come through your family with scattering and dividing, rebuild the altar. Altars are always the result of when you don't have enough in yourself to do it. It's going to take God. use that as fuel to make you build an altar. I can't do it. I don't have enough. But God can. Rebuild the altar. The second thing you got to do, if you're going to get your head lifted up into vision and future and rebuild your life and rebuild everything that the enemy has scattered and divided, is you've got to rebuild your relationships with people. You see, we have got to unself ourselves. We are a selfie generation. That's why we take our cell phones and we'll hold it up, and some people post 400 pictures of themselves a day. It's called a selfie. And the spirit of the selfie has got in the church. And all we think about is ourselves. But when you lift up your head and God begins to rebuild your altar, it will make you begin to focus on other people, not just yourself. But you start saying, well, if I'm walking through this, I'm walking through it because God's going to get glory out of it. And that means that I'm going to be healed by helping somebody else and building somebody else up. Because I've been there and I know what they're facing. Build other people. Go to people and say to somebody, you can do this. You can make it. Don't give up on that marriage. Don't give up on your family. Don't give yourself over to that alcoholism. You can stop. I struggled too. I was a drug addict. If that's your testimony, use your testimony that I was suicidal. I was depressed. I didn't know what I was going to do. And begin to build somebody else up. If you will start building others up, you will be amazed at how God will start building your life and your family up. You know that in the Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step program, the 12th step, there's 12 steps and there's 12 action points. And the 12th step, they say, is the most important. To make sure that you do not have recidivism, which is going back to what you've been set free from. You need to get to, and they said most of the people in the survey, most of the people do the 11 and stop and do, and the ones that went back were the ones who did not fulfill the 12th step. What is the 12th step? Get involved with someone who has a bigger problem than you do. And help them, build them, encourage them. I heard about one psychologist who kept seeing the same woman, Christian psychologist, kept seeing the same woman for 3 years, trying to help her through the trauma and through the dysfunction and the abuse that she had been through in her life. 3 years. And he said, this coming appointment will be the last appointment. And he said, I'm going to give you about 60 minutes, and then I want the last 15 minutes. And I'm going to let you talk all you want to talk about in this last session, and then I get to speak the last 15 minutes. And after 3 years of counseling, and he listened to her for the last time, and then he said, now the last 15 minutes, I want to tell you my story of why I've been treating you. I've walked through cancer. I've walked through chemotherapy. I've walked through this, and this happened to me, and this happened to me, and this happened to me. And suddenly the woman was so touched and so freed that he said that he had been in contact with her. See, when you start hearing somebody else, come on. And he said, the way I stay joyful is I keep pouring into somebody else. Find somebody who's got a bigger problem than you do and begin to build them up. And then the last thing is, everybody say, build your altar. Build other people. See, that's what the church is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be a bunch of judgmental, mean, ugly people. We're supposed to be a bunch of people who are all broken and wounded, and the wonderful carpenter came and healed our life and fixed our brokenness and propped us up on our leaning side and gave us the power that we needed to keep on going and overcome. And then we're supposed to turn around and build each other up. And that's why this one is important. The third one is build yourself up. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 says that, beloved, you are to build up yourselves in the most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the heavenly language. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Walking and praying in the Spirit. Building yourself up. Because sometimes when you're like David in 2 Samuel 20, in 2 Samuel 5, when he lost his home in Ziklag, and the Bible said they talked of stoning him, his own men, and he had lost everything. His house was burned down. His wife was kidnapped. His children were gone. Everything. And the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you do that? You build yourself up by putting on CDs of worship, by putting on music in your heart, singing, making melody, building your faith up, walking and praying and talking to God. Last evening was a beautiful night for me. I was out in the woods as the sun was setting down. Hallelujah. And I had me, myself, and I, and Jesus looking over a big old open field as the sun was just going down. And I had me some Phil Driscoll playing the trumpet on my phone. And I just started worshiping God. I threw my hands up. I started praying in the Spirit. Started doing what that verse said, throw it up. Don't be ashamed of that one. I like that one. Beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, I just started worshiping. I just started praising the Lord, song after song. Tears were streaming down my face. And I just started to call him good and tell him he's worthy and thank him and thought about my family, thought about where he brought us from, how that I didn't know what we were going to do. And in my darkest hour, I had a board and I had staff and I had a church that ran up under our arms like Moses and Aaron and lifted our hands up when we, Sharice and I and our family, were going through the most severe scattering and attack that hell could ever bring. But we made it. And I can't look back and live. I wish some things would have changed. But you know what? Where we are is a good place. And I can tell somebody here that the spirit of the carpenter is here this morning to tell you, if you have no hope, if you have your head down, looking only at your present and grieving, that the remedy for discouragement is here comes Jesus Christ, and here comes his army of believers, the encouragers, the laborers, the builders, the carpenters. I'm looking at them, and God says, I've done too much for you to have empty hands and not be building somebody else's life. Because I rescued you and rebuilt you, I want you to rebuild others and their faith. And it starts with you rebuilding the altar out of your own need. Can you just throw your hands up right where you're sitting at every campus? Just say, Lord, here's my family. Here's my marriage. Here's my future. Here's my life. Here's my disappointments. Here's my trials. Here's my addiction. Here's what I don't have. Here's where I am. And that spirit of scattering, that satanic scattering and dividing, in the name of Jesus, I've come with the remedy that has caused your head to not be able to be lifted up unto the hills from which comes your help. And that remedy is the spirit of the carpenter, Jesus Christ, who has come not to demolish, but to rebuild broken lives, broken families, broken marriages, broken relationships. Rebuild broken relationships. Go to work. Quit worrying and start working. There's a verse in Nehemiah chapter 4 that says the people had a mind to work. If you'll get the mind to work, your hands will follow. And some of you got to get a mindset that I'm not going to just sit back and let the enemy scatter and divide my family. I have a mind to work on this. My mind is renewed about this. And I have the spirit of the carpenter, and I'm going to start building steps and a bridge back to what the enemy has scattered and divided. Call by call, invite by invite, step by step, card by card, gift by gift. Whatever I have to do, I believe God can restore, rebuild, and renew my family. I'm claiming it for this nation. And you know what I feel like saying? I just claim for every one of you and your families and your children and situations, even addictions that has just made you almost give up. You've said, I can't get out of this. It'll never change. Can we agree that God could do a 52-day miracle like he did and rebuild what the enemy has demolished? Stand up on your feet all over this building. You know what I feel? I feel like I'm preaching to business people who the enemy's tried to scatter and divide your business. I feel like I'm preaching to families, and I want you to get still and quiet if you can. This is the most important part of the service. Not the preaching, not the singing, but your response. Isn't that amazing? Your response to the word is the most important part of the service. Because the preaching does no good. The singing does no good if you don't respond. Pastor, the enemy scattered and divided enough. I want the spirit of the carpenter to come on me. I want my tool belt. I want my hammer, and I want my sword. I'm gonna fight and I'm gonna fix. I'm gonna battle and I'm gonna build. That's who I am. I am not a demolition expert. I am not a critic, and I'm not going to be a complainer. I am a builder. Jesus said the number one problem in the last days will not be the harvest. He said, the harvest, lift up your eyes. The harvest is white unto harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth carpenters, laborers, builders, reapers, who will get involved, get a tool, and fight the devil and build somebody up, build your family up, build your marriage up. If you know I'm preaching to you today and the enemy's come, listen to me carefully. I'm very specific. With a scattering, dividing spirit, and faith is sparked in your heart after hearing this message, and you believe that the carpenter is coming to your rescue today to rebuild what the enemy has torn down. By faith, get out of your seat. Come as couples, come as families, come as an individual struggling with an addiction or anything in your life that needs to be rebuilt. I want you to get out of your seat and come stand down here this morning. Because I believe that the moment you step out, you are operating in faith. The moment that you do more than hear the word, but you act on the word is rebuilding that altar. And when you fix the altar, you'll fix your life. Here they come. Here they come. Come on. Come on. Even if you're visiting and you've never been in anything like this, but boy, you feel a desire to get back to God and rebuild an altar and say, God, I need to give you my life. I need to surrender. Come on. This is your service. This is your, you'll point back to this day years from now and say, that's when the carpenter started rebuilding my life. And I'm so thankful. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now lift those hands. All over this building, all over this congregation. Can we believe for a 52-day miracle? Right before Thanksgiving, right before Christmas, let's believe that God can give us a season of reconstruction of families and marriages, rebuild relationships, rebuild fellowship one with another. Come on. Worship the Lord this morning, right where you're standing. Say, God, I give you my life. I give you my family. I give you the ruins of what the enemy has demolished and destroyed. Here's the broken pieces. Rebuild it. Here comes the builders. God's going to bring some builders in your life, some carpenters into your life. They're going to help you get it together. Get a sword back in your hand. Fight for your family. Fight for your children. Fight for your sons, your dads, your mom, that brother that's addicted, that child that's suicidal. Fight and build. Sing it to Jesus. Worship Him all over this room. Lord, we claim them. We claim them. Don't sell the farm. Don't sell the farm. Father, the prodigal's coming home. They know the way home. They know the way home. Let them yearn for it, the old ports. Let them yearn for it, the old home place. The prodigals are coming. The carpenters are coming. He's working on it. Believe God. Believe God. Lift up your head again. See a future better. Jesus Christ, our God. Whoa. Everybody, just hold your hands up like this. Say, Lord, put in my hands a sword to fight and a tool to build. Help me not to be a critic, not to be a complainer, not to be a worrier, not to be a whiner, but to be a carpenter. I'm a builder. And I will fight spiritually and I will build physically. I'll rebuild my altar. I'm going to rebuild relationships with people I love. And I'm going to rebuild my faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, spending time alone with God, reading His Word, meditating on the Scriptures, worshiping Him in private. If I build the altar in private, I'll win the battle in public. I'm rebuilding my altar, rebuilding my relationships, rebuilding my faith in Jesus' name. My head is up. I lift up my head. I'm not looking down. I see a future. I see God's promise. And I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I want to tell you this in closing. This is a good story. Just the keyboard for a moment. But in North Dakota, it's one of the major producers of coal for the United States. Coal that keeps warm people in the winter. But North Dakota has extreme weather patterns. And in the summer, it can get up to 120, 124 degrees. But in the winter, it gets down as low as 60 below zero. And when the young men begin their careers in the coal industry, they go even deeper into the earth, and it's so cold down there that the supervisor tells them all the same instructions. They say, "The heat, boys, the heat, it's cold down here, isn't it? The heat is in the tools. When you go to work, things will start getting warmer down here. And if it's cold, cold, cold relationships, cold in the family, the heat is in the tools. Go to work. It's going to warm up little by little. Keep if doesn't matter, keep loving, keep trying, keep reaching, keep doing what the Bible said do. And the heat is in the tools. They had a mind to work. Didn't say they had hands. It has to get in your mind or you won't do it long. But the Lord's renewed your mind about situations. This morning, right here, right now, He's renewed your mind. And you don't see it like you saw it when you walked in here. But you understand, okay, I'm going to strap on the work belt. Got my little power drill out. Got my sword ready to fight for my family, my relationships. And I'm claiming over you, and over this whole church, over our nation, a 52-day miracle. Can anybody take a message seriously? And will you, for the next 52 days, give yourself to this? That families could be around the table that when the enemy said they're too scattered and divided, it'll never happen again. For Thanksgiving. For Christmas. In Jesus' name, raise your hand and receive this blessing. Whew, hallelujah. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine on you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you, and give you peace.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Mystery resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.